All right, everybody, welcome back to the Clean Slate Podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Garza, here with my co-host, Carson Phillips.
Hey guys, I'm Carson here.
And today, we have a great review coming your way.
Yeah, we do,
guys. This is our second to last review before the holiday season, so get ready.
Yeah, we just posted our end of the year Spotify,
Yes. It's called Wrapped, I think.
Wrapped. And it just kind of tells you.
It was through Anchor, our provider. What do we call them?
Well, but at the bottom, it says Spotify.
They're owned by Spotify.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay. Yeah. So we posted it, guys. And we are in successfully 7 countries that we are listened to.
Wow.
And we have Canada. I think, over 400 minutes of content. So. Guys.
It was over 56% more content than most podcasters within our genre because
exactly
we did daily episodes and we're still doing daily episodes soon.
So. Yes, we will be starting our daily episodes for our Christmas special soon. Okay, guys, so we are doing our prediction time with Dan and Can. So
I hate that. I resent that. Can.
I don't know. You have an N in your name, so.
No, that's
Dan and Can's predictions. We got 3 good movies
our
for you.
Our couple name? What would our couple name be? Carden
or Darcy?
Or Carniel.
Yeah, Carden. I don't even know what Carden came from. It'd be
Carden?
Carniel or Darson? I think Darson.
I hate that.
Denarson?
Darson? What's our... You guys should come up with our ship name.
Yeah, do that.
Carinal.
So first off, before we get into the predictions, we had a couple of good episodes that came out during the kind of holiday season. One of them being Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. But
yeah,
I want to address the haters in our podcast.
Haters?
The haters known as Tim Davis, T. Pat Davis.
No, he.
So,
he's
guys,
right this time.
Go to his account,
send him pizzas.
Spam him, and send him hate mail. And actually, you know what? SWAT his house.
What's
want you guys to SWAT
right
him.
Now? His address is 773 Ronald Street, Maryland.
Maryland Boulevard. The state is on a boulevard.
I don't know.
Anyway, so he disagreed with me. He left us some hate mail on Instagram. So, guys,
he
I want you to go back
Daniel.
And hate him back.
He
was my groomsman, but he is no longer a man, so he's just my grooms. So, guys, I spoke personally with a lot of other people that did, in fact, agree with me that Snoopy was the villain in the Thanksgiving Day
episode. Who did you
speak
to?
That's not important. I'm not going to name drop unless they're haters.
No. They're wrong, though.
They're not wrong.
Snoopy's not. Okay.
Snoopy was the villain in that episode. I'm not saying he's a villain in general. He was the villain in that episode. Guys, to clear up this fight, go back, listen to our Thanksgiving Day episode. It's fun. It's friendly for the whole family. And
it is friendly for the whole family.
And come back and see if you agree with me or Carson. So let's get into our movie prediction times with Dan and Can. So... Our first movie, set more than a decade after the events of the first film, Avatar, The Way of the Water, begins to tell the story of the Sully family. The trouble that follows them, the lengths they go to keep each other safe, the battles they make to stay alive, and the tragedies they endure.
That's a horrible log line.
Yeah, it's not great.
It's just too long. Okay, I will say.
What will you say?
I recently... rewatched Avatar in theaters.
Okay.
The El Capitan in Los Angeles. That's the theater owned by Disneyland. It's gorgeous. I've never been there before, so that was kind of fun. The seats are horrible, though. I mean, anyways, that's another story.
Yeah, okay.
But the original movie holds up.
Does it?
And I actually appreciate... I think it holds up. And the special effects still looked pretty good, like on a movie theater screen. On a TV, a little bit different. But I thought it looked pretty decent. The story's still whatever, but like,
yeah,
I still enjoyed it. So I'm thinking this new movie, I'm hopeful it's going to be good. I think it's going to be as good as the first one.
Okay, so what are you going to predict?
So I'm going to predict. Oh, dude, it's so hard because it could really go either way. I'm going to say critics are going to say 93.5%.
That doesn't exist. I'm going to do 93.
Do 94.
Okay.
And then the audience is probably going to like it too. I'm going to say 96%.
Ooh, wow. Okay.
I'm feeling high. And here's the thing too. If this movie doesn't end up being the fourth highest grossing movie of all time, it doesn't make its money back.
Yeah, that's true. It's very true.
So I just want everyone to go watch it and say it's good, even if it's not true, because I want him to finish the story at least.
Yeah, for me, I kind of lean on the opposite. Okay, so this is just a quick story. Rebecca and I, last year, we went to Disney World, and we did the Avatar ride in Animal Kingdom.
World. So, dude, that area is like life-changingly cool.
Oh my
like
god,
the
dude.
Floating mountains. Yes. Both rides are pretty cool.
The one where it's kind of like soaring over the world. Where,
yeah, that's amazing.
So Rebecca and I had literally like a life-altering experience on that ride. Yeah, no, because Rebecca was like, this is what so I picture crazy. Heaven would be like being able to fly, being all, she had like an intense, like,
it's not theologically sound, but cool.
However, I did not love the Avatar. I loved all the things that you're supposed to love about it, all the specs and all the text. But the story, so.
I mean, okay, the story of the first one is weak.
Right. So I think they might correct
the story in this one, though.
It doesn't give me a lot of hope for it. So I'm going to say 76 critics and 83 audience. That's my review. Yep.
I think you're going to be wrong.
I really genuinely hope I am. So the next movie is going to be A Tale of Outsized Ambition and Outrageous Excess. Babylon traces the rise and fall of multiple characters during an era of unbridled decadence and depravity in early Hollywood. So this is Babylon.
Damon Chazelle.
Yep.
I met him.
Really?
I'm flexing real quick. I met him. Behind him at Sundance. And then I peed next to Thundercat. So
nice.
And we said, hey. But anyways, I kind of have a feeling this isn't going to be that good. I'm going to say 70% critic and like, okay, no, that's way too low. I'm going to say 77% for critics and like 83 for audience.
I'm going to go low because I think we had a lot of hope for, what was that new Christian Bale and Margot Robbie movie? Or was it Margot Robbie? Amsterdam.
Oh, that's a different director though.
I know, but it gives me that vibe. And
I mean, I feel like this is going to be kind of a fun movie though. Like, I think I'll probably like it. I just don't know. I feel like it might end up being a mess.
I'm going to say 59 critics.
What?
And 32 audience.
Nah, dude.
I think it might flop. I'm taking a risk here.
No.
Now, let's move to The Pale Blue Eye. This is such a long log line, but here we go.
Go for it. Make it dramatic. Read it with your acting skills.
West Point, 1883. In the early hours of the gray winter morning, a cadet is found dead. But after the body arrives at the morgue, tragedy becomes a savagery when it is discovered that the young man's heart has been skillfully removed. This honestly sounds good so far.
I'm in.
Fearing irreparable damage to the fledgling military academy, its leaders turn to the local detective, Augustus Lander, who is Christian Bale, to solve the murder. Stimmed by the cadet's code of silence, Lander enlists the help of one of their own to pursue the case, an eccentric cadet with disdain for rigors of the military and penchant for poetry, a young man named Edgar Allan Poe.
What? I was going to say, as you were reading this log line, it sounded like...
Yeah, like one of his poems.
Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah.
Like, because isn't there something like about the heart getting ripped out or some crap?
I don't know. I never paid attention.
We're not literature people. So I don't know if this is going to be like the most amazing movie ever. So I feel like critics are probably going to be like 65% maybe. I think audiences might vibe with this. I feel like this might be like an 82.
Okay. Okay. So I'm going to give it an 82 and a 76. I think it's going to be good.
Critics are going to be into it too?
Yeah, I think so. It sounds a little bit, they're striving.
It sounds cool.
Yeah. So, okay, cool. Those are our three movie predictions. We will probably meet this back up at the end of our Christmas, or actually at the beginning of our next, after our Christmas special. And we will kind of see who's going, who's the closest to win. And whoever wins this gets to pick a movie of their choice.
I'm going to pick something so bad.
And make the other watch it and review it. So the movie we watched, you guys, is All Quiet on the Western Front.
It's not that quiet. It's really not.
It's very loud.
Well, until the end. And they're like, oh, it is all quiet on the Western Front.
You're stupid. Okay. So this is a Netflix original, right?
Yes, sir.
A Netflix film.
It was at least in America, at least. I don't know about in Germany or not.
Yeah, true. So let me read it for you. A young German soldier's terrifying experiences and distress on the Western Front during World War One. That's it.
That's simple enough. I mean, that's accurate, too.
Yeah.
So this is technically, well, it's not a remake, but this is based off a book that came out, obviously, years and years ago. But there was an original film as well that also came out forever ago. It was like an early sound film, technically. So I've seen the original. I have not read the book. And then I just watched this one. So I do have a little... Honestly, there is like some big differences. But I think I prefer this new one more, to be honest.
Yeah.
The old one kind of like the themes and stuff, they make it very obvious what the message is. This one does too, but... The original film makes it more obvious, but I will say before we start talking about this, the original film featured a lot of actual vets from the war.
Hmm.
And so like the way they would set up like the barbed wire and all this different like trench warfare stuff was like extremely accurate because they just got done doing it.
Yeah.
So that if you're into that, that'd be a reason to watch the original. And it's American. The original is American. This is a German film. Well, you were saying that at first it played in English for you, right?
Yeah, it was really obnoxious. Wait, did I tell you that already?
Yeah, we talk before this podcast sometimes.
Oh, right. Okay, so yeah. At first, I always like watching it. When you have the choice, I like watching it in its original form. Just because from an acting perspective, like a lot of tone comes through... Obviously, like the cadence and vocal performance of the actor. So you get a lot more, even if it's in another language, you get a lot more from learning or like listening to the original than somebody's dub version of it, because they might not have done the exact same work that the actor has done. So you really kind of want to stay true.
You kind of lose what their performance is.
Exactly. Yeah. I would say you probably lose at least a good 75% of it. So that's why. But when I first started watching it, it played in the English dub for me. I was like, wait a second, is this showing like the English side or what? And then I was
you're like, what is happening?
I know. So I scrolled down and it said English with subtitles. I was like, wait, no. So I put on German with subtitles.
The default was English. Yeah, which is so odd. And I've heard with Squid Game that happened to people where the default was English. I'm like, that's so weird.
Maybe, I don't know, because I feel like there's like a lot of push in film to watch a lot of these foreign films, but they still like cater to us of, well, here's the English of it. And you're like, no, what? I want to watch it in.
I can read.
Yeah. In Korean or whatever. So, I mean, I don't know if we want to describe the whole thing. It's pretty much just a group of friends that it's not.
They're kind of excited to go to war.
They're not volunteering, right? They're pretty much told they're going.
They're pretty much told they're going, but they're told like, hey, what you're doing is like this great honor.
Yeah.
You're going to come back a hero, which obviously we all know how World War One ended, how it affected World War Two. So
yeah, exactly.
They didn't come back as heroes. They came back broke.
It's very sad just because of the beginning. This group of friends, they all go into like sign up together. They all get their uniforms together. Mm-hmm. They're super excited to be heroes and just like, you know, patriots for their country. And then it takes such a quick turn. And I think that's where we can kind of open it up.
Terror.
Yeah. Yeah. I hella just burped when I said, yeah. I was like, bruh, yeah.
That's disgusting. I think I'm going to go cry.
Oh my God. And so I think we can open it up right there to be like, you know, let's just talk about it, of what we thought of it. Let's do what we liked first. Because I think there's a lot more of what we liked than what we didn't like. And
I think overall I liked it.
yeah,
more than disliked it.
Same. And it's pretty much just like you're just following this character in his slice of 6 weeks in the war that he's supposed to be in. Because they said they're only supposed to be in there for 6 weeks, right? Like that company?
Yeah, I think they had like waves of men being either drafted or volunteered or whatever. I don't know what the actual historical context of that is, but yeah. I think it was like waves of men because there were some guys that were already there longer. In fact, one of our main character cats was there longer than this younger group of guys coming in.
Okay, cool. So what did you like about this movie?
I mean, I really liked... So, okay, I'll do this first. I really enjoyed the visual style.
Okay.
It was really pretty. Obviously, we were talking before, it reminded us of 1917.
Yeah, for sure.
World War One movie.
Yeah.
But 1917 is all one giant one shot.
Yeah.
It's like it's supposed to look like a one take. This doesn't do that. So you do get some really cool cuts here and there. And there's also like these really cool visual moments where it's not the soldiers, it's other stuff around them, like kind of showing the atmosphere. And I thought that set this tone really well.
Yeah.
There is one shot in particular I love, though, and that's when the cars are driving up and you can see the headlight go off and then the next car drives up and the headlight goes off.
Oh, okay.
It's when the train's coming in, too, and they're like getting it. There's you do see a little bit of behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And it's these guys negotiating, and that's kind of the scene there. But the way they shot it was really pretty.
Yeah.
Especially if you have all your lights off in the house and you got that sexy Atmos track going on in your ears. But yeah, so the visual style is really, really solid in this.
No, yeah, I definitely am with you on that. Just there's the shots on it were so beautiful. And I started watching this the other night, and and we have like a big TV that has a really good sound system, so it's always fun to watch these kind of war movies go on because you get the good quality sound and you see all the, you know, the visuals in there that are just like, yeah, exactly. And I really like the style that they went with it, especially there was this one beautiful Dutch angle that they did. And I'm a sucker for Dutch angles. I don't know what it is, if it's me being pretentious, but
it's because I'm Dutch.
Yeah, sure.
I'll show you my Dutch angle.
Shut up. And so it like he falls onto the ground and it cuts into this Dutch angle. And then the camera just kind of follows up with him when he starts to get back up. And I just thought, like, just everything was so clear. Everything, like, you could tell they didn't go cheap routes on this and being, like...
This movie looked expensive.
Yeah, with visuals. And, I mean, it was just such an eye candy masterpiece to me. It definitely felt like it was kind of being a little bit of Oscar bait, just with how dramatic some of these scenes looked. The Oscars
just ignore foreign films, though.
No, they don't. They largely
ignore them.
Okay, but I think Parasite
one category.
Parasite, it won, like, what, three or four Oscars?
Yeah.
So
that did open the floodgates.
I think so, ever since then, I've been seeing, like, so many foreign films just be, like, coming to light and being such a, like...
More people are open to it now.
Exactly, yeah. Because when you put... I mean, good stories are good stories no matter where they come from. So once people kind of, like... Get wow, out.
That's profound.
So once people get
that's
out,
our new quote on Instagram.
Good stories are good stories no matter where they come from. Wayne Gretzky, Daniel Garza. Do you know where that's from?
Okay. The Office.
That's my buddy. You're my friend. Okay. So yeah, I really, really like the visuals. The cinematographer in this was just, I think, the perfect fit.
What did you think about the soundtrack? I thought it was killer. It kind of reminded me of the Batman soundtrack.
I hated it. Okay.
Really?
So,
okay.
I liked it.
Is it because it sounds too modern?
No. I liked that. I thought, like, right when they first played it and, you know, they're showing, like, all the trucks and all the soldiers in the trucks, I was like, oh, nice. Like, I thought that was going to be the style that they kind of followed along, but it wasn't. It just was that song,
that's it,
yeah, the entire time. And I was like, oh,
well, it's because
gosh,
during the fight scenes there's no soundtrack, really.
Exactly, yeah, it's just all the so I really didn't like it. It just got too, it was too much for me, and I didn't think it was good. Comparatively though, when Batman does the same thing the entire
over.
Yeah, I liked it. So I don't know, it had to be something with the notes or something with the actual,
it just wasn't vibing with you this time.
I liked it. I don't want to get it
you
twisted.
Liked it.
I liked it. I just didn't like how overused it was.
In terms of story, I thought the story was really solid as well. I thought the themes, like, the it's technically it's an anti-war movie.
Yeah.
I mean, you could argue that all war, I've heard it argued that all war movies are anti-war, but this has a strong theme of that.
Yeah.
And especially this war, where it seems like it was mostly pointless, because at the end they give you this little snippet of information about how they were literally fighting over, like, meters.
Yeah.
That's all it was. So, like, you see how pointless it is and how much trauma these characters have to go through. And the actors do a good job of portraying, like, the shell shock and them freaking out over losing friends, especially when they go in with this attitude, like, we're going to come back as heroes.
And yeah.
You see them slowly start to realize, like, we're not coming back the same people or at all, depending on how this goes down. And
yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely intense, but
I agree with you a lot.
I thought it was good the way they did it.
Yeah. I mean, we see movies do this all the time. And if you haven't seen this, you probably have. You just need to look a little bit more or just kind of train your eye to see it. But something that this movie did was when the boys all kind of get, like, the group of boys all kind of get their, like, their notice that they're going to be going into war. You see all of them come together. They're so excited. It's kind of like this huge, like, I don't know if juxtaposition is the right word, but, like, they're really stoked for this to honor their country, right? And it's all sunshine, all the theme, the mood is all upbeat and bright, but then it's the same thing. It's like the mood changes right when they get to the point of they're going to get their suits, and then he sees that there's the name tag of the other soldier that was on the uniform beforehand.
Oh, yeah.
And then you That's start to so feel crazy. The darkness set in, and then immediately right when they get to the camp, like, it's just everybody's like, wait, well, this isn't what we kind of signed up for. This isn't what we thought it was going to be like.
And then it gets worse from there, because even after that first battle, they're assigned, like, a job to go and collect the dog tags.
Yeah.
And or half I'm the like, dog tag. That would mess you up mentally.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, if this is a job, that means this happens every time they fight. And there's a lot of little stuff like that throughout where you're like, the psychology of it would just, like, mess you up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, unbelievable. We've never saw a war like this before.
So, right. I mean, and to your point again, just kind of like reiterating how you said that the guys, like, they portray this, how they don't want to be in this war pretty intensely.
Yeah.
It just holds up throughout. Like, you see his friends start to mentally dissipate because of how, I mean, I just thought of that one scene where the boy with the glasses, I can't remember his name, but he was just like, he was just so fed up. And when they're finally getting bombed in the trenches, he's like banging his head against the wall because he's like, I just want to go home. Like,
oh, I know. I felt so bad for
him.
And then he does, spoiler alert.
Yeah, he does die.
He dies, and they pull his glasses out of the...
Well, he accidentally steps on them, remember? The mud. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so sad, too, because he was all, like... He was kind of, like, a goofy character.
Yeah.
When he tried the glasses on for the first time,
mm-hmm.
and he was all excited, and then he dies pretty early on, so it's not that big of a spoiler, but
yeah,
that was traumatizing.
This is more on the severe side, and, like...
The violence is intense. Like, you see disfigurement. Most of it's fairly brief. Like, the fight scenes aren't incredibly long.
But without, like, spoiling the rest of the end, it is kind of funny. Wow. That was horrible to say.
War is so funny, bro.
The movie comes... shut up. It comes full circle with Paul when the new company comes in. And he... Yeah, he just, like, they...
Redheads.
It was the last thing that they tell. They're like, hey, this is... you know, we're going to go fight one more time before, like, you know, the war ends. Gosh. And the kid, like, looks so confused, and he just grabs him, pushes him aside, and then he, like, protects him in the trenches too. So, and that's exactly like what Katz did with Paul.
Yeah, I thought that
and
was
so
kind of
it,
pointy.
It's interesting to see, yeah, how that comes full circle, and you see the, like, the reality and truth behind what the war did to him, and now, and not even that he's, like, a pro at war, but, like, he's been through it, and he's only been there like 4 weeks.
He has the trauma already. But he came in the same way. He came in optimistic, thinking, oh, I'm going to be a hero. People are going to love me when I get back home. And that's probably what this other boy was thinking. And so age-wise, there's no difference. But as far as, like, that 4 weeks aged Paul probably beyond what a normal experience. Person would age, you know? Like mentally,
yeah, and exactly. All that
stuff, spiritually.
For the most part, the pacing of this movie was pretty strong. The acting was phenomenal.
Yeah, it's not boring at all. Like the whole time you're like, oh, I want to keep seeing how this goes.
Exactly.
Okay. So I have like two kind of complaints. They're not really that big of a deal. One, I would have liked, this could be a me problem though too. I just wish I could have told, what's the word?
Could tell
these main friend group apart a little bit better. I don't know how you could have done that. It's kind of hard when everyone's covered in mud and blood. Mm-hmm. So it's reasonable that they couldn't do that. And then also, some of the political stuff, I thought it was placed weird in the movie, but I almost feel like if the movie was either super, super long or if they turned it into a mini series, they could have done that a little bit better. This would have been great as a mini series because I know the book actually has a bit more story to it that like happens after the war. I haven't read it, but I just saw that somewhere recently. I thought that could be interesting, but as a movie, I think it works perfectly fine too.
Honestly, this would have been a good miniseries.
Yeah. Like a German Pacific or something like that.
Yeah, it's a
Band of Brothers.
It's German just version. It's a great movie. I really do want to recommend this movie to anybody that's like into history, into war, into like kind of all those types of
super into war, bro.
War movies.
That's yeah, right. I like war movies. Even like the old ones that are like not super graphic and aren't really like showing you the true horrors of war. I even enjoy those a little bit. Like The Great Escape is such a fun movie to me. But anyways, yeah, I do recommend it as well.
Yeah, sweet. Okay, so
show it to your homeschoolers.
Shut up. I mean, literally.
Me these the fuck.
I mean...
I watched war movies as a kid. I'm fine.
I didn't. And are you fine?
Mostly. Okay.
That is All Quiet on the Western Front. It's a really good movie. Go check it out. And it's on Netflix. And yeah, it's on Netflix. I mean, a little bit of a graphic warning, but other than that, it's a really great movie.
I got a recommendation.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're gonna start switching who gets to do recommendations, so we can keep these a little bit shorter. So I'm going first. I'm stealing it from Daniel.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I'm struggling to cut these down and keep them short so you guys can just listen to them. So it's a good idea what we're doing.
So over Thanksgiving, Alyssa bought me a Thanksgiving gift, and she got me the 4K collector's edition of Marcel the Shell.
Nice, and Alyssa.
In our backlog of episodes, we talk about this movie a lot, even though we didn't watch it ever until recently. So me, Alyssa, and her grandma sat down and watched it and on her big 4K TV, and I cried watching it. It's a wonderful movie. It's a cute animated movie, kind of animated stop motion. If you watch the YouTube shorts of Marcel, I think you would love the movie. A24 put it out, and which is such an odd... The fact that there's like a family appropriate A24 movie makes my brain hurt a little bit because there's really nothing inappropriate in it at all.
Yeah.
I think it might be boring for like little kids, but for the most part, it's really wonderful and wholesome.
Well, that's just the difference of A24 is that they like take on movies that in other worlds wouldn't get made.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you could have Moonlight, Hereditary, and Marcel the Shell all under one company. And they all received the same amount of like love from the filmmakers and like the team at A24 too. Like they make merch for all three movies equally, and
it's unmatched.
Great. Our Christmas episode's coming up pretty much immediately after that, starting on what date did we decide?
I think we're doing the 12th.
The 12th, and we have a lot of them. We're gonna be doing daily again, so get ready. Mm-hmm. Get your Christmas sweaters on. Get your cocoa. Roasting, get some nuts and cracking, and we're gonna have a fun time.
Yeah, we are. We're gonna do it all. I mean, for the most part, all of these are pretty appropriate for the
you can watch family friendly, probably except for like two.
Yeah, and the rest of them are just gonna be our classic. They're gonna be our classic Christmas movies. I already started watching some of them so we can get ahead, but it's gonna be a lot of fun. We're excited about that. We're gonna do 15 movies actually in 12 days. So
15 movies, but in 12 days.
Yep.
But anyways, we'll see you guys next week. And please remember to follow us on @thecleanslate_podcast, something like that.
Yeah.
@DanielGarza, @CarsonPhillipsLovesYou. And
dude, did you just change that?
Yeah, I just changed it. I thought it was funny. But
I like when I added you to the story the other day, I was like, wait a second, did you just change that? Or has it always been that?
And we don't have Twitter. I don't think we don't use.
I don't think so.
We don't use Facebook, but yeah, so you can see updates on Instagram,
and our TikTok's gonna be coming up soon.
Yeah, we're gonna be doing TikToks and Reels, so get ready for that. Anyways, thank you guys, and see you later.
Peace.
That's a clean slate.